4-2-1. Amen.
All right. 420. This is our practice for Christmas Day. Let me save that. Thank you very much. Norma?
Yes, that's probably you tomorrow.
Thank you.
This morning's reading is from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Didn't know it was so long. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had his testimony, and he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of the house of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness of which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of the promise, as in a strange company, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them from afar off, and were persuaded of them that embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly, and they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of the staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come up 2 years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She is enraged to suffer affliction with the people of God, and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, and he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of kings, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlots perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, also of Samuel and of the prophets, who though faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the fires of fire, escaped the judge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings, being moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all things obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen.
Hebrews 11, the fifth chapter of the Bible. It is well worth reading about all of those people that have gone before us in Jewish history that trusted in God and were able to accomplish great things by allowing God to work through them and with them. Amen. Just want to remind everybody of the little pink prayer list this morning. If anybody has anything that they would like to add to this, now would be the time. Anybody, any extra prayer requests? That's good. Anybody, any thanks? We're glad to see you, Frank. I'm sure your mommy and daddy are even more glad to see you. Amen. Well, please do continue to pray for Colin. I haven't heard anything from him now for a week. Pray he's still alive and praying for his life. Please pray for him. Please also pray for Pat and Steve. I think they are off supporting something in the renal unit that has been keeping Steve going this past, goodness, nearly a year now. So please do pray for them. Don't forget John and Carol and Stephen at this time. Don't forget each other. It's good to see each one of you here. I'm looking forward to Christmas, whether it's a quiet one or whether it's a busy one. But I'm looking forward to it. I was going to say it to the time of rest, but it seems like we haven't stopped and it's only 3 days in. But don't forget the reason for the season. I know it's not the time that Christ was born, but it is the time that we have set aside to celebrate the birth of Christ. Yes, Mrs. Bradford.
Are you remembering that next Sunday is the dinner?
Next Sunday is the dinner. We're going to have a service in the morning. We'll eat lunch about 1 o'clock, and then we will have a brief service after that, and then we will go home. Probably have you heading home for about a half, 2, or maybe 3. If you want to stay and drink tea after that, you're welcome to. But, yep. So that's Sunday the 10th, yes, that's it,
we will be having our church Christmas dinner so that people can be there. Like specifically Steve. So please do pray that. Amen. I think there is a list outside if there's anything you would like to make sure gets here. Put your name down for it and bring it. Or make sure somebody else is bringing it. But I look forward to that. I put invitations out to the folks on the road. I like to do that every year. So please do pray for Stephen and Anne Marie next door. They have been a great help to the church over the years, especially when I wasn't well. And they, Stephen, he cut the grass in the church pretty much for a whole season. And we very much appreciate that. So I think that's about that. Is there anything else? All right, let's pray. And then we'll have sing a couple more songs. Well, if you would pray first.
Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into your house, safely into your tree, Lord. We offer love, Lord. We give praise to you. We pray to you. And your son, Lord Jesus, down the cross, tears from us, Lord. Lord, we offer love, Lord. Give us a blessing today, Lord. May our prayers, supplications, anything we do in this church be fully accepted on your sight and well pleasing, Lord. Lord, I hear our prayers and answer our prayers as well, Lord. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we thank you for having Frank with us, Lord. Bless him also. Go here and whether we go back to the Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord. Bless his work, the Lord as well, Lord. We remember call, Lord, wherever he is. Love him in his throat. Spare his life. Keep him safe and well, Lord. And guard him, protect him, his mind, his body, and everything that's in him, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord. And bring him back to us as well, safe and sound, Lord. Save Stephen, call him John, wherever he may be. Hey, Lord, bring him to the church point time, Lord. And save his souls, mind and heart, please, Lord. With Pat Steve, give some rest by your strength, Lord. Grace, Lord, and also with Steve, Lord, help in the renal department and hospital, Lord. Help him, Lord, mind and heart, Lord, if possible, Lord. Heal him, mind and heart, and make his kidneys function properly as well, Lord. But we also with John Bradfield, safe and well, Lord. Keep him well, Lord, and bring help him with his Christmas season, Lord, as well, Lord. With us in the season, Lord, may we fully collect, Lord, and the festivities, Lord, and I give the boy name, Lord, and give us more touch from the Spirit, Lord, and give us a blessing today that we may leave the church with a blessing and a warmth in our hearts to worship that great holy name. For thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. That's let's see. Did somebody ask for 4:30? There we go. 4:30 in the big 430 in the big books. That is why the shepherds watch their flocks time. 4:30.
Thank you.
words in that, I think a lot of people think as they sing these hymns that God has filled the earth when it says, and to the earth be peace. But it never says peace between man and on the earth. It talks about peace between man and God, and that's what God came to give. Amen. And when everybody has peace with God, there will be peace with man. Amen. Right, I think we're going to sing one more before we... Did anybody have... Yep. Number 434, O Little Town of Bethlehem. That was on my mind this morning. O Little Town of Bethlehem, 434. If you're fit, really, stand as we sing. O Little Town of Bethlehem. This one, I think, beats Norman's maybe by about 10 or 12 or more verses. There are 56 verses in this one. We're going to be reading the whole of Matthew chapter 26. And I want to speak on the subject of giving. Right, it may seem, if you're a student of the scriptures, a little bit odd to be bringing what could be construed as a Christmas message as we read verses that would typically be read during Easter time. But I started thinking of one portion of God's Word, but as I read the whole chapter, I saw so much being given. So let's have a read at it, and then we will have a look at the instances and the examples of giving, and then we will see how that can apply to us if we let it. The Word of God says in Matthew 26, beginning at verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my funeral, my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as he did eat, he said, Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, is the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take and eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me one hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Heal, Master, and kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priests and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, Are you come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. We're not going to do all the rest of those verses. We're stopping there. And we're going to be speaking for a little bit on the subject of giving. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again for preserving your word for us. I pray you for divine understanding of the scriptures. And Lord, that you would speak to each one about it. And Lord, again, that you would be with those that aren't here. For anyone that is listening at a later date on the internet, I pray this will be a help to you. We love you, thank you, and we, Lord, leave these things at your feet and pray that you would be one of our number. Amen. Amen. This, as we have already mentioned, is the time of year when people's thoughts turn to the giving and the giving of gifts.
Now, we are not going to say the best gift is a new Nintendo Switch or whatever the game system of choice has to be or favourite power tool. The Bible says there is one gift that will make everything seem like a gift to you, that will make everything seem new, and of course that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that most people ignore at this time of year. You will know that gifts show people a few things, like how well a person is known and loved and what they're thought of. Whether it's something that somebody can actually use or it's just a dust catcher, a decoration. It may seem odd to use this portion of scripture to think about things like this, but I was absolutely staggered when I saw the trade back and forth of feelings, of standards, of all of those things that there went on between the priests and the disciples and the Lord and even just Joe Public. And I pray a little bit of patience and indulgence this morning as we have a little look at this. This portion of scriptures shows us the completion, if you like, of the deliverance of Christ into the hands of the religious rulers. And let's be honest, friends, this is what most religious rulers want. They don't want any Bible or gospel preaching Christians running loose in the world in case people get it into their head that they don't need religion, but that they actually need saved through Christ. And as we go the whole way through this portion of God's Word, my Bible is a red letter edition, the words of Jesus are in red, Jesus is giving prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. One of the signs of a prophet is that their short-term prophecies would come to pass. And they did, spectacularly and heartbreakingly so, in this portion of God's Word. As we have already read in the previous few chapters, the Lord had already warned the disciples of what was going to happen. He had already told them he would be delivered up, that he would be arrested. And he begins this portion of God's Word with the very same words. As we read on, we see an interesting little aside. The priests were given an insight into what's going on in the priests' offices. And you might be wondering, how did that happen? How did Matthew find out what went on? Well, the truth of the matter is that there were some high priests and there were some people high up in the religion that loved Jesus, but fearfully, privately, because they were afraid of what might happen to them. Here we have the high priests quite literally giving away their office and their standing before God whenever they plan to and eventually do lay hands upon him and mock him and belittle him and eventually put him on the cross to crucify him. Planning to kill the very man that they should have been anointing as the leader, literally the leader of the world. As we read on, we read the portion of scripture that actually brought me to this point, the great sacrifice of the woman that anointed Jesus with ointment, I think it was, with spikenard. One of the other accounts in the scriptures tells us that this was worth about 300 pence a year's pay. Most likely a dowry that had been gifted to her by her father, had been laid up somewhere, and it would have been used, maybe even sold, to finance the first year of married life, maybe even longer to get them started, because a year's pay is a significant amount of money, whether it was back in biblical times or even today, and I am sure none of us would turn up our noses if someone said, here's a year's pay for you. Woo-hoo-hoo! Thank you very much. I don't have to worry about any bills for a month or two. But this woman was signifying that she was giving her future to God. This that should have been setting up her life for the future, she spent it to glorify God, to anoint God. And of course, the Lord gave her an honorable mention. Wherever the gospel is preached, wherever the Bible is opened, this woman would be remembered. And that's an interesting thing. There's no name given here. I think there's one instance where there is
a woman, Mary Magdalene, I think, is mentioned as weeping on the Lord's feet and drying his feet with her hair. It's not quite, there's no mention here of this woman's name, but it's important that even Joe Public, when it comes to it, can do something for Jesus, that even whether it be a little sacrifice or a great sacrifice, here we have a little sacrifice. As we read on just a few verses, we read about a man that God had spoken to previously in a dream, or maybe had given him a vision, I don't know. He just said, someone is going to come to you today and say, we need your upper room. Whoever it is, give it to him. And the disciples came, and Joe Public gave to the Lord the upper room. And these events, the next few events, they're recorded as having happened in this man's upstairs. And that's just crazy. Maybe a few years down the line, someone was reading this and saying, that was my dad, or that was my granddad. He gave the Lord the upper room so that they could hold the Passover. And so it goes on a little bit in between those two things. We see the giving away of Judas. Judas giving away his integrity. Judas giving away his future, his eternity, in betraying the Lord Jesus. He had schemed and wheeled and dealed with the high priests. And for the sake of 30 pieces of silver, he sold his soul, not Jesus, he sold his soul to the devil for the love of money. He also goes on to say, sadly, that Peter, you're going to give up on me as well. Whenever the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. You'll all run in fear of your lives. And even though Peter says, no matter what, I'm going to stay and I'm going to fight with you, and no one's going to separate you, the Lord says this is what happens, so that the scriptures are fulfilled. He also said, I'm going to go before you into Galilee whenever I raise myself from the dead. All these things that the Lord gave them, these little bits of prophecy that were no good to them at that very moment in time, but later, they'll say, hey, he said that was going to happen, and it did happen, and that happened as well, and that happened, and that happened. Only the God of the universe could know those things. We also have the giving of our model for the Lord's table, in the Lord giving his blood, shedding his blood for the payment of sins, in the giving of his body, which was beaten, not broken, but definitely beaten, for the payment of our sins. And then we have the visit out to Gethsemane. And it does talk about a number of the apostles being asleep, but there must have been one there that wasn't, because we have these words recorded that the Lord came and found certain apostles asleep, but one was still awake to record the events. And then we have, of course, the giving in to the bodies of the disciples needing sleep during the Garden of Gethsemane. We also have the reminding or the giving of God, his charge to his son, that regardless of your feelings, son, this is a job that needs to be done. Our Father in heaven had already prepared the Lord for this, but don't forget, just a chapter or two ago, Moses and Elijah appeared unto the Savior, strengthening him. And he comes back from his prayer time with the Lord Jesus, with his Father in heaven. And then all of a sudden, there comes a band of men with Judas. Judas at this point has given up any semblance of trusting or following or believing in Jesus and betrays him with a kiss. I would like to think that even then, as he was given over to the Lord, given over to the devil, that the Lord said in verse 50, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Giving him an opportunity to repent. But he couldn't. He didn't want to. He wanted the money. And then, of course, we have Peter giving one of the high priest's band of men a short back and sides and whipping off one of his ears, whom the Lord then healed. The Lord gives him his life back and heals him. And for the very first time, the Lord saves the world. Did you know that? For the very first time, the Lord did not give in to his anger. The Lord did not give in to the feelings of betrayal and abandonment. The Lord said, "I could presently call down 12 legions of angels, and they could march across the earth and kill every living thing upon the earth, and I would be well within my rights to do so." Now, I had to have a look and see how many 12 legions amounted to. It works out between 60 and 70,000 angels, each one of them capable of killing 180,000 men of war in one night. I think that pretty much accounts for the population of the earth at that time. And of course, very sadly, we know that the disciples then give in to the fear. And they give in to the consequences of sticking with Jesus right then could be their own arrest and crucifixion and maybe even the loss of their life. There's a lot of giving in that chapter. A lot of giving. It's not quite the chapter in giving that many people think about, because whenever we talk about giving in church, we talk about tithes and offerings. The Lord says, as you are profitable, at the start of the week, lay aside, not as you go to church, but as you're profitable. Some people might think, I give in service, and that's good. Some people would think, I give in food out of my cupboard, or time out of my day, or some grease off of my elbow. There's an elbow grease. But the example of the believer that loved the Lord for all that he had done for her was giving God the rest of her life. And that is something that we as believers should seriously consider. That does not mean you have to write a check for all of your money to the church. It does not mean you have to sign over your new car to the church. That's not what God is looking for. He is looking for you and I to be good stewards, to use the things that we have properly. Because I don't know if anyone remembers the words of Job. Job said, whenever God had taken so much even to his health, he said, "Naked I came into the world, and naked I go out." So no matter how much we get in this world, someday we will leave it behind when we step off into eternity. We are quite simply lookers after of the time that we're given, of the efforts that we make, and the things that we gather on our way from one end of our lives to the other. What we do with them is entirely up to us. But the smartest of people realize it is far better when we use things than when things use and control us, and that we use them the way the Lord would direct properly. Regardless of popular opinion, and regardless of how expensive things are right now, people are great givers, believe it or not. Young and old alike, they like to give. You only have to look around and you will see how many people give their standards, their integrity, their chastity, their sobriety, their wisdom, and their time, and even Christians, their testimony. They give them away in order to experience things that will quite literally destroy them. Destroy their health, their finances, their relationships, even to their souls. Somebody once made this quote, that sin will always take you further than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. And one that I always added on to that was, and sin will always make things look better than they actually are. And once all of those things have been given away, it is a devil, if you'll excuse the expression, of a job to get them back. Once your chastity is given away, it's gone. Once your sobriety is given away, the doctors will tell you, you never become not an alcoholic. You remain an alcoholic for the rest of your life. Once your integrity is given away, people will not trust you anymore. Once your standards have slipped, it is a job and a bit to get them back again. But you can give as a Christian. Again, we're not talking about money and belongings, but of your character. You can give an example. Instead of giving your standards and integrity and stuff away, you can give examples of them away. You can show that your standards work. You can show that it is good to have integrity. You can show that it is good to wait until marriage before you enter into a physical relationship. You can show that it is good to be sober. In fact, the Bible calls us to be sober, to be wise. And if anybody is a bit stuck for understanding in the Bible, and it says in the book of James, I think it's in James 2, just ask God, or James 1, and he'll give to you liberally. And most importantly, as a Christian, give up your testimony. Believe it or not, most times you don't have to tell people you're a Christian. Your testimony will go before you and will do a lot of preaching in people's hearts and minds about what God has done for you, because people know you. And you can show with all of these things that living for God is better all round. You might not have falling down drunk parties, but you will have joy in heaven and a good head and more money in your pocket in the morning. And it's not just for church on a Sunday. It's every part of your life. I would hate if all that God offered his children, that God gave to his children, was peace on a Sunday morning. What would be the point of that? God gives us an everlasting peace with him. The soul that rejects, sadly, God, it says at the end of John chapter 3, the wrath of God abides with him, and God doesn't want that. And I tell you what, with all the nonsense going on in the world, that is the last thing that anybody needs. It is about giving. Should it be a gospel tract, and I think there's a bunch out the front then? Are there any out the front one? Grab a couple of gospel tracts and even sneak them into somebody's letterbox or stick them in a magazine whenever you're in Tesco's. If anybody rings me, I'll take the blame for it, don't worry. People say, you know, but if I give and give, I'm not going to have anything left for myself. In three of the gospels, the disciples came to the Lord with this. They said, Lord, we have forsaken or given up so much for you. And the Lord said to them, there is not one man among you that has forsaken or given for the cause of Christ, that has given family, friends, things and stuff, that will not receive in this life 100-fold. All of the things to replace all the things that you've given up. That's the promise of God. So don't think that you'll end up with God in your debt. He won't. That when people start asking about giving, it always reminds me of the account of a Christian who was renowned for his generosity. And he was asked this one time, how is it that you have so much, even as you give more away? And the man said, well, I shovel stuff out, and God shovels stuff back in again. And God uses a much bigger shovel. Now, I've got a couple of verses. One of them speaks specifically about tithing. And the other one speaks about every walk of life. In Malachi 3, it says, "Bring ye all tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it." But the word of God in the parable of the sheep and the goats says it's the same about every walk of life. I'm going to read this. It's about 10-15 verses out of Matthew chapter 25, and then we'll be done. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand." We're not going to worry about the left hand. We're only interested in the Christianity of giving. Somebody wants... put this challenge to me about, I am sure you've been in, I don't know what it's like in London, Frank, but you can tell me later. There would be a lot of people begging. Oh, can you spare us a pound for a cup of tea? Or can you spare me £2 for a drink? At least a man like that's being honest. Or can you spare me a pound for a bus ticket back to wherever? How do you do that? Because you and I know that many times that money will just go straight to drugs or alcohol or gambling. I think it might have been my brother who gave me an example. And if someone says, can you spare a pound for a cup of tea? You go one better and you say, no. But I tell you what, come on over to the cafe and I'll buy you a cup of tea and I'll buy you a sandwich and I'll sit and have a chat with you. That way you are still being a good steward of your money as you help this person. Can you give me a pound for a bus ticket? I says, no, I can't. But I will take you to the bus ticket station and I will buy you a non-transferable, non-refundable bus ticket to get you back home. That is how you do that. The Lord gives wisdom for all the different parts of our lives when it comes to giving. And ask Him and check with Him. When you want to behave like a Christian, God is not going to say, no, you've behaved enough like a Christian today. He will help you. Thank you for your good time, folks. God bless you. Hope that was a little bit of a help to you. And I pray you, don't be like the goats, be like the sheep. Amen. I think I have, yes I do, hymn number 424, 424 in the big book. That will be our closing hymn. And that is an old faithful called, Come, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Let's stand as we sing, Come, All Ye Faithful. Thank you. all for your good time, for being good sports for our long Bible reading and our long preaching reading. Pray you have a good day, good Lord's Day, and a good run up to Christmas, and that you would consider Christmas as the reason for the season. I know it seems a little bit cliche, but don't forget the Lord as this month progresses. Don't get swept away in the buying and the getting and stuff like that. Don't forget the Lord. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a wee word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Please bless us as we part company. And let us remember the words of the readings of the Psalms. And help us, Lord, this day, I pray. Please be with Colin and Pat and Steve and Carol and John and Steve. Pray for Winston and Nicolette and their young son that was in that bad wreck. Jordan. And for Scottish. Lord, there's so much going on. I pray very especially for the people in Russia and Ukraine. Please save lives there, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless and keep and protect and provision Israel at this time, too. Please oppose at every turn, Lord, those that hate you and your people. And please, Lord, bless those that love you. We ask all of this, Lord, you know our private prayer requests and our petitions, too, and we leave them at your feet, Father. And I pray that you would grant them, please, according to your will. Please see us safely home again, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And according to your will, amen. Folks, we are dismissed.